I'm calling from the other side of the country, world. I'm calling the other side of the world, where it's nighttime for you, but it's daytime for me, to say that Dave will cut everything I just said. Dave's going to cut all of that. So here's where I begin.
It is somehow both October and November 1989. Boy, there's a lot going on in your lives in both these months somehow at the same time, including the resurrection of the whole Dennis problem. But hey, you're going to treat yourself. You're going to push a month, otherwise known as pamming it. And we'll deal with this next time. Yes, it's time to
Listen to Sassy.
I'm a catchphrase.
Pamming it. It could be so many things. That's not one of the things I would have ever thought. Pamming it is.
Push a month.
Pushed a month. I get it. Nice.
Oh, it's all caps pamming it.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Pam, I mean, we closed our last episode with Pam saying by the time everyone heard it, she might be
Pam's got a new backdrop.
And it happened. And she's got a new backdrop.
I do it. Thank you for noticing.
You could really tell in the audio.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have 2 months worth of quizzes and 2 months worth of calls to get through. So we should get to it. Let's shall.
What?
Starting with our October 1989 quiz, rate your self-destructiveness. This is like hearkening back to the could you become anorexic or bulimic quiz of like, what are we actually trying to determine with this?
Do you like to eat uranium?
Yeah, it's a weird one. So let's
railroad
just...
spikes for tracks or your head.
Let's launch in. Pam, you have the first highlight question here.
So I highlighted number three because it was, you can hear your parents arguing, but you can't make out what they're fighting about. You, A, try to ignore them, or B, wonder what you've done wrong. And I'm all, where is C? Both? Where's both? I'm both. I am also listening, which isn't an option, like listen harder. So I'm C, listen harder, and then D, all of the above.
It's true. Two does not seem like enough options for that question.
Yeah.
There are so many ways parents arguing can go. And when mine would argue, which didn't happen that much, like they would sort of bicker, but they wouldn't like, you know, it wouldn't be like scary fighting. I never thought it was about me. I don't know. I was like such a nerd.
The confidence.
No, it was just more that like I got in trouble for teeny tiny stuff if I ever did. And so like I was real locked down most of the time.
That's amazing. I'm so impressed. I didn't even have to have done anything wrong. But if they're arguing, I might be in trouble anyway.
Sure. Right.
It's coming this way. You have to listen because you got to read the temperature. It's like
storms are brewing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, there's been an earthquake and you're like, tsunami warning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I cared. I think it was sort of like the Peanuts adults, you know, like but you would only hear your name if your name was explicitly said. You didn't
yes.
care.
Yeah.
You'd be just like, wah, 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 whatever. And then once in a while, it's like, whoa, Dave. Oh, shit. What?
This is why you like your dogs. Like, you're like, that dog knows what I'm saying. He's pretending. I'm going to say his name, Dave. And then one ear. Yeah, you heard me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think my parents fought a lot.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
There was like one, like when I was really young, my mom like moved out for a month or something like that. Something Whoa. Happened. I don't know what.
That's for sure something happened.
Never asked, never followed up. Don't really care anymore. It doesn't matter. I remember my dad saying, your mom's back. Go downstairs and tell her that you're happy she's back. I'm like, all right. Hey, mom, happy you're back.
Whoa.
I had no idea what was going on.
Oh, my God.
720 Sassy Go. This is a Dave exclusive. I want to unpack it for weeks.
I mean, we'd have to, honestly, we'd have to get my sister on to probably fill in the blanks. Beyond that, I have no idea. And by the way, we will never have my sister on the podcast, so it's not going to happen.
I'm sure she remembers that, though. If you do, she does for sure, because she was 10 years older. But every part of that scans. Your mom was like, she was a bit of a powder keg. She was irascible.
Yeah.
And your dad was real easygoing.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't surprise me that like you didn't hear them fight a lot until something happened that was like potentially a cataclysm in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Incredible.
You think it was formative? You think somebody, because I don't remember really caring one way or the other at the time. I mean, now I look back, you know, who knows?
No, yeah. Well, formative in that you guys, once again, are so much better at this than I am.
I don't know, because I think you even though you look at it in terms of strife and hardship, like at least you processed it. Mm-hmm, whereas sure. I, in a great British tradition, just tried to shut it out and never dealt with it. And who knows what that actually did.
The great British turnoff yeah. of emotions.
Yeah.
The cool down.
Quiet.
Oh, she's back.
You are this week's star chiller.
What news of Thorold?
But to their credit, they didn't bring you into it. I wouldn't.
Right.
There was no option to ignore it. Be like, right. Get down here and find out what's happening.
Right.
Pam, you're young. Decide this argument for us. Oh, no, I don't want to.
Fine, then cook something.
Oh, boy. All right, let's move on, shall we?
It's fine.
Mine is, how often do people tell you you're nuts for doing something? Your options are a few times a week, occasionally, like monthly, never, never. Again, going back to my answer on Pam's highlight question, I was very even keeled and probably quite predictable.
I'm Tara's tampon. Someone should tell her. She's nuts.
I'm from 1992.
I think you meant that.
Help me.
I'm desiccated.
We're going to New Orleans.
What?
Your tampon looks like Diane Ladd in Wild at Heart on the phone, covered in lipstick.
Got it.
Oh,
yeah.
God, New Orleans are beautiful.
I don't know. For me, Tara's tampon is Steve Buscemi from Billy Madison with his kill list, rubbing lipstick all over his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are peas in a pod.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of, take your peas out of your pod, Tara.
Don't tell me what to do.
You're nuts.
All right. So mine is, whose music do you identify with the most? And your choices are Jim Morrison, Peter Gabriel, or The Cure.
The three genders.
Well, I just took it as confirmation that listening to Jim Morrison is bad for you, which I thought was good service journalism from Sassy.
Yeah.
Obviously, my choice is Peter Gabriel, big Genesis fan.
Yep.
Don't think that's the Peter Gabriel they're talking about here in 1989. This is Sledgehammer. Peter Gabriel era, but still not bad for you like Jim Morrison is. Jim Morrison leads to bad shit. Listen to Jim Morrison.
This doesn't terrible really seem music like that much of a range. Like,
no, it's not.
Even if you say Peter Gabriel is in the middle, like if whichever one of Jim Morrison or The Cure is supposed to be bad, it feels like they're bad in the same way. Like one of these should be Debbie Gibson or something.
Jim Morrison is destructive. The Cure is introspective.
Right.
And Peter Gabriel at this point is fun. His video has got, he's got clouds on his face.
Yeah.
A train goes in his ear.
Sure.
Oh, what
but
a kook.
This is in your eyes, say anything, Peter
in
Gabriel.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the light, the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of in close to The Cure in terms of show me, show me, show me.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway.
Mood. It's moody. That's all.
Right, but if you're supposed to be showing a range from, like, if Peter Gabriel is the middle, Jim Morrison is one end, like, the other end of that spectrum should be, like, a pure pop artist, like...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's brooding and destructive.
Right.
Brooding and introspective.
Yes.
And other.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, well, I somehow scored in the middle, which I would have thought it was, like, do something dangerous sometime, but that wasn't. I have middle 3 exclamation marks, so I'm shocked. If you scored 11 to 30, you were told, all right. So when you're up against the wall, you may take it out on yourself a little, like locking your keys in the car after a disastrous bout with the SATs. That might seem like a totally unrelated accident at the time, but you could be doing stuff subconsciously that hurts you in the end. Don't panic. Just be aware that you do it so it doesn't get out of hand. So Sassy thinks I'm fine, I guess. Phew.
Mm. Well, I got the lowest.
Okay.
The least self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't remember what it said, but it should have said something like, start saving now because you're going to live forever. And what are you going to have when you're 94? You haven't planned that far ahead. Oops.
I also got the middle. And I find that this is wrong because some of the things I chose truthfully as a teenager should have been giant red flags. And Sassy's quiz should have been like, hey, yo, it's not how self-destructive you are. It's the ones you've done that are wrong. Like now I know I'm answering truthfully, but like, someone at the back, it should have been like, here's a phone number to call. Some of these are very much self-destructive. And then some of them, if you had to choose one of these sports to play the rest of your life, which would it be? Soccer, skydiving, or tennis? Like, that's not...
But the ironic thing is now, I could probably do skydiving better than I could do soccer or tennis.
That's right.
Because my hip doesn't work anymore. Like, yes. I literally can't run anymore. Like, if I ran, I would fall down. So I could drop from a plane, no problem. Land might hurt a bit. Soccer, tennis, like 100% out of the question. But I'm sure skydiving is the self-destructive answer.
Yeah. Plus, you can tandem jump, really. You can just pop right down. Mm-hmm. How many of your boyfriends and friends have taken advantage of you? Also, that one felt a little like... Wow, is that my fault? Most of them, less than half or none. Like, the two of you just nodded when I said, is that my fault?
No.
You were trying not to, but your heads were bobbling like you're on a dashboard and I was driving to meet my friends.
No, I was agreeing with you that you were right to criticize Sassy for making this seem like it was your mistake.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, I got right in the middle, but I shouldn't have, because I think while I was an A student doing some extremely self-destructive things to myself.
But Pam, now your answer to all this could be, but I got a Academy Award nomination out of it.
Yes, it's all art if you use it. Yeah, you're right. I processed it.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was saying earlier.
Many years later.
After that emotionally destructive quiz in October, they decided to lighten it up in November. Prime shopping month, Christmas around the corner. Rate your mall knowledge.
I absolutely hated this quiz. That's all I wrote down. I hate this quiz.
I expected this was going to be more like the TV quiz where it was like trivia, like which store sells what? And it's not like that at all. So my highlight quiz is, question is, how much money does the average teenager spend in a mall each year? Your choices are $100, $268, $31. And since I had just gotten the previous question right, which is how often does the average teenager visit a mall once every 2 weeks, I thought, oh, okay, well, if they're there once every 2 weeks, they're spending like crazy. Oh, no. $31 is how much the average teenager spends in a mall each year, which is impressive.
You don't get much on your way in. It's your parents who do the splurging.
Right.
That seemed low to me until I realized two things. One is I never went to the mall socially because I didn't have friends like that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a place just to hang out. Like, it was a mall, was a transactional visit.
Yep.
Two, if you visited malls back in the glory days of arcades, you would spend a good chunk of your allowance via quarters.
Yes.
Into machines. Mm-hmm. And I could see like $5 a week easy.
Yeah.
You know, at the height of my mania. And that would be much more than $31 a year.
Right.
It's very self-destructive.
So that's, So I thought that was pretty low.
Mm-hmm. I picked 31 with a sure thing, because if there's one thing I remember about hanging out at the mall, it's being broke and hungry and asking someone to split something with you.
Yes. For
Let's
sure.
Let's go fourth C's on these nuggets.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in malls in Regina, hold for giggles, the one fast food chain that for some reason you could always find was A&W.
Yeah.
So I have shared a lot of orders of A&W fries in my time.
Don't you find it weird about A&W that you order things you're going to eat and it's all family-based?
Yes, I do think that's weird.
I guess the mama burger, the papa burger.
Teen burger.
Like child burger, fetus burger. Glint in your father's eye fries.
Were the Berenstain Bears their mascot?
No,
or
but that would have been good.
Family?
No, but it was a bear.
Wait, I wish to correct that. Glint in your father's fries would have been better.
Yes.
I picked number 9, name the traveling exhibit that appears only in malls, which... Of course, I got right because the MTV's Museum of Natural History is in here, which I have bragged about going to before. And I'm still trying to find the horrible. That's a word I've just made up. And you know what it means. Mm-hmm. Video of me on a surfboard.
Yeah.
I picked this one, though, because I want to see the other two traveling exhibits. Woodsy the Owl's Don't Pollute Review is a hoot. And the Vision Pro Skate Escape, which I just want to see in a mall. How dangerous.
What is that?
Aren't they made up?
No, I don't know. It sounds like it's an escape room, but you have to be on a skateboard, which would be something.
If they're not made up, I really want to see Woods of the Owls Don't Pollute Review.
The Vision Pro Skate Escape is real. I found lots of clips on it.
Is it logic puzzles while on skateboard?
No, I'm sure they did it in parking lots. So, but the Don't Pollute Review cannot find evidence of that. So that might be fake.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a mini podcast just trying to find out the secret behind the Don't Pollute Review.
I will say Gail Webb, the skate safety mom, could have appeared at both of those other ones. I'm not going to start into it again, but she could have.
Do you need me? La, 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 la. Number 13, which classic horror film is set in the mall? Of course, that's Dawn of the Dead. Now, I've said many times I'm not into horror films. I do make an exception for Dawn of the Dead. It's not good. As much of a horror film as it is sort of just like a slight weird, visceral in that 70s way that is cartoony, comedy-filled to me, horror film about a mall. Like, just the concept is great that you want to bunker down in the mall, but the zombies got in, and now you have all of the resources of the mall at your disposal. And it's fantastic. It is, I kind of want to watch it right now. I haven't watched it in years, but it is definitely the best of all of those remakes included. You can't beat the original Dawn of the Dead.
Yes. The original is good. The remake, I think, is also quite good.
It's good, but it's different. It's either too serious or too self-aware to really capture what made 70s zombie films special, which was we're trying really hard and failing, but it's still super entertaining.
Yes, absolutely. So for this one, I once again scored in the middle, barely. I was at the top end of the middle with, I got 10 points and the range is 6 to 10. Warning, the Surgeon General has determined that even this much mall knowledge could be hazardous to your health. On the other hand, you might be able to snag a toaster oven on remote control. All right, I'll take it.
I also got mid. I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like Wikipedia-esque questions in this that were just a crapshoot.
Yes.
I feel like it should have been more like questions going with your friends kind of stuff. Like, what teenager would care when the first mall in Iceland was finally opened?
Right.
Yeah, I got right in the middle. I got right in the middle. No.
All right. We're all triplets. Mall triplets. All right. We got a bumper crop of calls. Thank you so much for keeping those calls coming while we were on our extra long slumber party break. Let's start in with our teen life calls, starting with Marit.
Hi, everyone. My name's Marit. I know Pam. Hi, Pam. And I like to pretend I know you, Tara and Dave, because I've been following you all since the TWAP days and have slowly but surely collected a few different former TWAPers as actual
I thought she was going to say hair samples or something.
Anyhow, I'm calling because of the comments at the beginning of the episode where you talk about the earthquake that happened during the World Series, because I grew up in Monterey, which is about 2 hours south of San Francisco, and my mom and my brother were actually at that World Series during the earthquake. So their story is the most exciting, and my mom remembers mostly just grabbing my brother who was trying to like run out to the field because no one who was there really knew what to do, and someone nearby had shouted, go out to the field. But she was like, if we get separated, this is an even worse nightmare. It took them about 8 hours to get back to Monterey when it normally would take like 2 hours. They kept having to get on and off different freeways. And of course the power was out everywhere. So there was no lights other than headlights. I, on the other hand, was a freshman in high school. So perfect sassy age. And I was on the phone with my longtime best friend and we were talking about the biology test we had the next day. All of a sudden the ground started shaking. My friend goes, what is that? And I said, it's an earthquake. Get under something, because it was the biggest earthquake I had ever felt, and hung up the phone. I grabbed my dog that was running through the hallway. I grabbed my cat and sat in the doorway till everything stopped shaking. I tried calling my dad's office. Nothing. No one answered. I didn't realize, of course, that the phones weren't working, because I also called my friend back and she answered. So like It was before the phones were completely dead. She was, and of course, being freshmen in high school, the first thing we started talking about was, do you think there will still be a test tomorrow? School was canceled the next day. My dad came barreling through the driveway, the fastest I've ever seen him drive, about 5 minutes after the earthquake happened. And then I remember him just saying, like, well, who knows when the power is going to come back on? We should just eat all the ice cream, which was like so typical of my dad and like one of my favorite memories of him, because this is how he's going to handle all this. Anyhow, a few years later, I was down in Los Angeles for college at Occidental, where California University during 90210 was filmed. The Northridge quake happened when I was a freshman, and that happened in the middle of the night. All the women were like running outside in their little skimpy boxers and tank tops that they slept in, even though it was January and it was actually pretty cold. I got yelled at by the hall director because after the earthquake was over and they were telling us all to evacuate, I was grabbing snacks, I was putting on a big jacket, I grabbed a blanket and a pillow. And then everybody was like, why did you know to bring all this stuff? It was because I had been in another big earthquake and I didn't know how long we'd be outside. So those are my large earthquake stories. Love the show. Love the podcast. Love all the podcasts. You guys are the best. Keep doing what you do. Bye.
I think as a public service, she should let us know where she lives now so that you cannot be there, because she seems to be an earthquake magnet.
She's dangerous.
The detail of the dad saying we better eat all this ice cream is great, because it combines two things dads love: not letting food go to waste and ice cream. That is very cute. Thank you for that story. Both those stories. This call from Sarah is specifically for you, Dave. Clip two.
Hey, all. This is Sarah. I'm just catching up on some older episodes, and I just wanted to say that I recently listened to the episode where Dave was talking about his hip pain and all the frustrations of not knowing what's wrong. And I just want to say, I was listening to that in my car driving around running some errands, and I was screaming like, yes, yes, I get it. Because Dave, I relate to this so much. I, for years, have had this issue where nobody could figure it out. I went from doctor to doctor to doctor. It was really impacting my life, and it is so frustrating when they just don't know what's wrong and just pass you off from, let's do this. Well, I don't know. Let's try this. Let's try this. Let's try physical therapy. No, physical therapy doesn't work. I feel you. I really hope that the next thing works, and it sucks. It really sucks. And so I just wanted to send my empathy and well wishes. And I also will say that I 1000% agree with you that physical therapy is 100% bullshit when they don't know what's wrong. And it's just a stab in the dark. And when it's not a prescriptive thing, like, I just had this surgery and now I'm doing physical therapy in these easy steps. When they don't know, it's a total crapshoot. And so, I feel you, and I hope that you get better soon. Bye.
My leg was amputated last month.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So much has happened.
This is why you can't run.
No.
That's most of the reason.
Yeah, physical therapy was a crapshoot. I did go. I've had more luck just using my leg more than the actual physical therapy, like just going for long walks. And it hurts the next day, but then it doesn't hurt for a bit. I don't know what's going on. So I will just wait for it to rot and fall off.
Yeah. But I think everyone's got a story like this. It's so hard to advocate for yourself in the medical system, like no matter where you are, because like if the doctors are just like, we don't know. And you're like, well, what if it's this? And they're like, meh. Like they really put up a lot of roadblocks between you and figuring out what your problem is if it's not something that they can determine right away.
Right. Especially if you know you only get 10 minutes with your first doctor, right?
Because
that's like, that's the way the system works here. It's like,
if that.
I don't really think you put your A game into this, doc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear clip three.
Hi, everybody. It's Emmy from Oregon. I haven't called in a while. I got behind on the podcast and I'm still catching up. So I just listened to the September episode where Pam does a tarot reading for Dave, and I called because I like mystic shit too. And I just bought my first tarot deck, and I fought it for a long time. I was like, not going to buy one. It's not going to tell me the future. Fuck that shit. And, but I broke down and bought one because it was really pretty, and it's based off of plant life and animal life in the Pacific Northwest, and I love it. And every time I pull it, or like, you know, pull a spread and then read it and figure out what the cards mean, I always am like, yeah, this isn't telling me anything. It's just positive shit that I like to hear. So it's like, yeah, leftover pizza. That's a positive thing that I want to hear and eat later. So yeah. Anyway, I think that shit's fun. So I'll hang out with you, Pam. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing well, and I'll catch up someday. Bye.
Emmy, listen, I have felt this call coming because I have been so into finding old tarot decks on eBay. Now I have too many. So I can give you one if you want to have a second one. I was recently told you should be given your tarot deck and that they pass on from person to person when they... you know, they fall into you. And I also have a book that I found through someone's recent witchy party where I brought my decks and we charged our crystals under the moonlight. Just do it, Emmy. Go all the way in. Just dip all the way in. It feels so much better once you just say, I'm witchy. And that's it. I don't even have a tattoo. I'm not like fully witchy enough.
How many early Kate Bush albums do you own, Pam?
I don't even know anything other than Running Up That Hill. And that's just because you hear it.
Sure.
Is she this woman's work? Mm-hmm. Or is that Kate Nash?
No, that's
How
Kate
many
Bush.
Crystal balls do you have with a dragon wrapped around it?
Zero dragons, two crystal balls. Okay.
Me too. You know what I mean?
Well, across the months that we were off from slumber partying, we got a very... I'm going to say robust response to Dave's description of how he prepares on the rare and terrible occasions when he is forced do a number two in a public restroom.
I told you guys, no butt stuff. And now here we are.
Don't tell us. Tell the listener because they responded.
They loved it.
In force. I have it in our doc as Dave Toilet Corner. But Dave, you can call this this segment whatever you like.
Toiling away.
There you go.
Dave, you're not the only one. My mother, oh my God, my mother is so, so paranoid and grossed out about public toilets that she will hold it to the point of like practically causing a medical issue in order to avoid a public toilet. But when she does have to use one, I think your method and hers are about the same for toilet seat covers. I'm more of Tara's camp. I used to use them, but you know what? Fuck it now, because if I'm going to get butt herpes, I'm going to get butt herpes. It would have happened by now. Have a good one. Bye.
Butt herpes.
Burpees.
Mm. Yeah. I'm gonna reply. I have thoughts about this. What I didn't get a chance to say while we were recording that episode that everyone's responding to is, you get much more dirty if you're worried about the germs putting your hands on the toilet seat to put the paper down than whatever touches your butt.
100% do not have to touch the toilet seat to put covers on it.
Okay.
Trust me, I know.
Well,
because I do it.
Okay. Let's hear from Joanna.
Wait, but what? I'm curious. Why do you think I can't? Do you feel like do you have to brace the toilet seat or it's going to fly away?
No, I think that you would incidentally be much more likely to get germs on your hands being like doing stuff with your hands around.
Is that the college our first caller went to?
Pardon?
Incidental college.
That's right. I just think you would have incidental contact from hand to toilet seat that is much more dangerous in terms of germs, if that's what you're worried about, then butt to toilet seat. That's all. You do a lot more with your hands than you do with your butt in the normal course of a day.
Put it on a mug.
When you care as much, When you care as much as that, what if a mug, but it, like a stein, but the top was like, yes, like a toilet seat?
You see where I'm going.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
When you care as much as I do, Tara, you make a point of not touching the toilet.
Okay.
And I'm not so far gone that I can't put pieces of paper on a toilet seat without touching the toilet seat.
Okay. It just gets in the vicinity. But yeah, you're saying the vicinity has germs.
The miasma?
Yeah, yeah.
The little poo molecules floating around? We're going to get you, Dave. Yeah, we're full of feces. Came from butts.
I'll save the rest of my comments for later in these calls.
Yeah, we have so much more to go.
Mm-hmm.
Next call?
Yeah.
Number two.
Hi, gang. This is Joanna from Austin. I've just been stunned by the Dave's passion about his habits in the public restroom.
Passion's the right word.
I'm with Tara. The only thing I do is I make sure that the seat is dry because some women insist on hovering and they dribble everywhere. But I don't make a big, huge, cushiony throne before I do my business in a public restroom. Y'all take care. I love the show.
Like, I know what she means by hovering, but I just imagine somebody cross-legged, magically floating, like fucking Doctor Strange over the table.
That's the level Pam is at now that she's charged her crystals in the moonlight. She can levitate.
That's right. That's why you charge the crystals. It's true. So you can float over the fucking toilet.
Yes. Yes, bitches. Between, like, my derby squats and my crystals. First of all, I just love that Joanne was just walking around having her day and being like, I got a call about this shit. I really feel like she was like, and as soon as she hung up, she was like, yeah, I need 2 cheeseburgers, side of fries. Sorry, I was just finishing up a very important call. And
what kind of fries you want? You want the Glint and my dad's fries?
Am I at A&W? I'll have baby fries. Listen, I think a lot of the water on the seat is splashback from these insane flushes that toilets do. And I think women get, I think women get a lot of like, you know, she's saying this, but really it's plumbing.
It's yes. I think it's both, but I'm not a scientist. Let's move on.
Hey, it's Carolyn the Scab from Luxembourg again. Tara, you talked about boob privilege in this last episode, but the more pressing issue is Dave's poop privilege. Like, how the hell have you not shit yourself in a public bathroom, Dave? Like, I assume you're only using them because you really, really need to. And you're taking all this time to, like, wrap up the toilet to your specifications. You clearly do not have irritable bowel syndrome because that will teach you real fast not to be squeamish about pooping in public toilets. Like, not ideal. Never ideal. But, I mean, if you gotta go, dude, you gotta go. Anyhow, love the podcast. Like, don't stress about public toilet seats so much. They're probably not that bad, I hope.
I operate within my means. I don't have irritable bowel syndrome, so I don't need to rush and do a hovering shit or whatever you ladies do. Mm-hmm. One time, let me tell you a quick story.
Oh, boy.
One time. There was one time relatively recently in my life, let's say last 10 years, that I was walking. I was back in Niagara, but we didn't live there, but I was back in Niagara. I remember I was walking from somewhere to somewhere, and suddenly, I had to go. And let me tell you, the idea, like, it was happening. Like, it was irritable bowel, single advent. It was deep impact. It was Armageddon. It was all happening at once. And I was walking sort of in a ravine. I'm like, well, I guess I got to just do it here. I looked around, make sure everybody's always walking down the path. You know, like, it was sort of like a public path, like a municipal path. I'm like, well, I was going to have to go behind a tree. And I did.
Oh.
And that was that.
What'd you do after? Did you kick it like
his pants
a dog?
Away?
No.
Well,
he took his pants down, right?
Don't tell
us yet, Tara. And I have too many things to decide.
Okay.
Did he call it Niagara Falls?
You're gonna say, did he kick it away? I was thinking it's not. It wasn't really something you can kick.
No, you cover it up, like
yeah.
No, I just assumed you were, what I was focused on is he didn't have any papers, so he had to just pull his pants back up and then throw them away at a later time.
Yeah.
He's nodding. He's nodding, everybody.
He's nodding.
Yeah. I may have left some underwear in the wild.
Okay.
So you just went wild at a park.
It was a poo emergency.
It was a poo emergency.
How deep did you put it? Scale of 1 to 10.
Uh-huh.
Did someone accidentally step on that later, and or a dog run around with some underwear?
No. I didn't actually decide to poo right on the path. I went up the hill behind a tree where nobody would be. Mm-hmm. This is turning into a Dr. Seuss book about shit. And I did it up there. Uh-huh. And let's just say that some of my apparel was already a little damaged.
Compromised. Wow. Yes.
So I took that as a sign that I could then use other parts of said apparel to finish my transaction.
Understood.
And then you went straight home?
Then I went straight home.
Did you drive to that park?
No, I was on foot.
No, he was walking.
Oh, you're on foot. Oh, because I just thought he'd have to put a lot of toilet paper down in his driver's side seat before he could sit down to drive himself home.
If I was in L.A., it would be something akin to, like, you know, those paths up the hills or that path near the Batman Cave, that kind of thing. It's in the wild, but it's still a well-used trail kind of thing. So there could have been people about. So I had first had to make sure that I could see anybody around, because even though it was behind a tree, it wasn't a very thick forest.
Mm-hmm. They still tell tale of the dog pooper.
Are you enjoying this, listener?
It was a little bit thicker after you left. I'll say that.
A little more black forest than we needed.
Bless. Let's hear from Kimberly.
Hey, guys. This is Kimberly from Goose Creek, South Carolina. And two things. One, Dave referred to peeing as pure business. And two, y'all, I got too much to do. I'm just sitting down in that toilet. I don't care where I am. If the door locks, I'm going in there. Nobody needs to know what I'm doing in there, and I'm doing it. All right. Have a good day. Bye.
I didn't remember the pure business part, but I do like that.
That is good. Make a magnet.
It reminds me of Pure Michigan, that from the ads that Tim Allen narrates.
Dave, if you're at the airport
and
you've got like luggage and no time, there's a flight, there's a gate, it's getting called.
Yeah.
And you had your coffee or whatever. And it's just, you've got a bag and a backpack and whatever. And Tara couldn't hold on to your shit for some reason. Mm-hmm. And you're just squished in there. Mm-hmm. You're then also making a toilet plate.
Can I theorize what Dave would do in this situation?
Please wipe.
Hold it till he got on the plane.
All right.
This does feel like a slumber party.
I don't like pooing in public places. Obviously. I'd much rather hold it till I get home. The airport, the plane, whatever. Mm. But if I had to choose between an airport stall and the plane, and I had some dangerous business to do, I would definitely try to do it in the airport and not the plane.
Okay.
Because I remember one time I was on the Amtrak from New York City to back home in Niagara. Mm-hmm. And let's just say somebody did an absolute paint job on one of the bathrooms.
Sure.
And it was terrible. There was no escape from the horrors of that happening.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, somebody who didn't know that was the bathroom would like open it up because, well, they had to go. Mm-hmm, and like, you know, in an 8-hour trip, the quality of your favorite bathroom may change. And somebody would open it. It was like fucking opening up the book, you know, the Book of the Dead. You know, the ghosts come out and shit. Anyways, that's to say that I don't want to be that person on the plane.
Right.
That makes the plane ride terrible. So I would absolutely do everything I could to do my important business, my dangerous business, in the gate bathroom.
I see.
I would take the suitcase into the stall. It's just a carry-on. It's going to fit. And then I would, you know, do my papering.
Look at this man with just one thing.
I would do my accounting. And then I would, you know, the transaction would be complete.
I'm thinking of this place where you have your coat, you have your backpack or purse, and then you have your carry-on, and then you have whatever you're bringing onto the flight, like your water or whatever. I'm just, you're at Sherpa level, I think, when you enter these airport stalls.
We go to the airport differently.
He doesn't carry that much stuff. He's got his iPad and his phone and headphones, and like that's it.
I got a
maybe
small personal
computer.
Bag, and if I'm doing carry-on, I'll have a carry-on suitcase. That's it.
That's why a Dave can shit in the woods, I guess. It travels light.
Like, if it's important to you to be able to do your dangerous, important business where you want to, you have to be nimble.
retroactive content warning for this segment, I guess. It's too late now.
I didn't anticipate you guys to be asking so many detailed questions.
Well,
I'm in the spirit of the mood.
The listener is leading us in certain directions. All right, let's hear from Emmy called back. Clip 8.
Hello, it's Emmy from Oregon. I just got through listening to Dave's very long story about how he prepares to poop in public places. And I have a rule for pooping in public places. I won't go if there's fewer than 4 stalls. If there's 4 or 5, you know, upwards of stalls, then I'm like,
I just want to say before she continues, this is the kind of crazy I'm here for. This is
yes, me too.
I am here for this.
The science is sound.
Like, okay, whatever farts come out, whatever smell happens, you could blame that on like at least 3 of the 5 stalls, I feel like. So that's my rule. So like airports, totally poop there. Like a Super Target or like a, you know, super.
Not a Target, only a Super Target.
For Walmart, there are some Targets, they'll have like 3 stalls, and unless I'm just dying, I won't do it. I'll wait till I get home. But it's mostly a Target for me. I usually poop in Targets. I think it's like their logo or something. I don't know what it is, but me and my husband will go to Target and we'll be like on some random aisle and I'll be like, oh, I gotta go, and he's like, okay, text me when you're done. So it happens often, frequently. Anyway, I just wanted to let y'all know my public pooping rule. So, but I don't do all that shit with the toilet paper and the seat covers. That sounds,
yeah, that's crazy.
It sounds stressful, honestly. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to do it. Anyway, you do you. You guys have a good day. Bye.
I know everybody's got different biology happening, but I think a lot of people's problems is they're not thinking ahead far enough.
First of all,
maybe they're going from 0 to 60 in 1 second, and you know, God bless them, that's all they can do.
Yeah.
But I feel like, there's a toilet near me. Do I want to take care of the business now? You know, or is it going to become a dangerous thing in a couple of minutes?
I think it's unique for you because you don't always sit down, so you're like, oh, I'm gonna sit this time. La 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 la. Like you can set a little bed for your butt, because most of the time you're standing up when you have to do your mild business, right? So you get to treat yourself.
She is absolutely not a crackpot for introducing the plausible deniability number, and I think 5 makes sense. You know, like there's 5. If there's even if there's only you and another person. In reality, you can both pretend that there were 4 people and 2 are still using the stalls when you both emerge from the same time. You look at each other and you're like, you nod back like, ugh. You just do like one of the, whoo, like, and you point back towards the stall like somebody's still in there. Gladys, you know, old Gladys is in there. You know, she had some cabbage and shit.
Sure.
I think that part makes total sense to me. Don't know if it would stop me if I really needed to go, if it was a 3 staller. But the idea that you can go in a Super Target, but not a Target, this might be my favorite call yet on this podcast.
But I know what she's talking about. They're like the Seinfeld episode where George gets caught taking the art book into the bathroom, where he's like, if there's something about being in a bookstore that makes me have to go. I have had that experience too at the Chapters that was by the Paramount Theater in Toronto. I befouled that one many times. Like, I don't know what it is about that bathroom, but it was there for me. I'm just going to ask before because believe it or not, we have one more call in this category, but should we have put this segment at the end of the episode? Are we going to,
are you saying it should have been a special drop?
No, I'm saying no, that we should have finished strong with the toilet material rather than waste it in the middle because it's just going to be a come down from here.
I don't know if finishing strong is the word you want to use.
Well,
I think we're at the midpoint. I have 2 things, though. First of all, sad to learn that Emmy's got a husband because she is my soulmate and we're supposed to be together.
I want to know, and Emmy, please feel free to call back when she's like, I have a rule, and then says what the rule is like. I wondered if this was like something she hadn't actually verbalized until she heard the podcast, and then it like crystallized for her. I have subconsciously had this rule all my life, and now I have to tell someone. Like, or is it known among people in Emmy's life that if she opens the door and only sees two stalls, she's like, absolutely not. You know what I mean? Like,
she texts her husband like, it's happening. I'm staying here.
She just said, I gotta go. And he knows, because Super Target is that's the place. That's where it's all going down, as it were. All right, let's hear the last call.
Hi, this is K-Dub from Shoreline, Washington. And I have a few things. First of all, Dave, I can totally relate to your toilet story and putting layers and layers of toilet paper all around the rim of the toilet so no part of your skin risks touching any part of the toilet. I'm not a germaphobe, which sounds like you might be, but I can see...
I'm not a germaphobe. I generally don't care about that kind of thing. I just, like, don't want my skin to come in contact with the people's pee-pee and poo-poo. I don't think that's, like... a crazy germaphobe story.
I have more to say about your germaphobia when this call is done.
I can totally...
You give me something to lick, I'll lick it.
Relate to doing that when you're in a sketchy bathroom. Second, Tara, Crocs are an abomination, and I want you to be satisfied with just slipping on Dave's and wearing those to let the dog out, because nobody should buy more Crocs. My 17-year-old son told me that he wanted Crocs this year, and I almost kicked him out of the house. I didn't, but almost. Not unlike when he told me that he didn't like Stevie Nicks in the car when he was 5. I almost kicked him out of the car for that. And then thirdly, Dave, again, this is back to the name conversation that was happening last time during the telephone calls. And I have some cousins named Terry, Taffy, Tom, Todd, and Troy. And I don't think they were a cult in that family, but some shit went down, and only one of them turned out normal and okay. And so, yeah, that's some strange name stuff. Anyway, I'll miss you, Pam. Have a great week. Bye!
The idea of Dave being a germaphobe is so cute, because the number of times I have come into the kitchen and seen him straining pico de gallo salsa in his hands and then doing the most perfunctory no soap rinse afterwards. Sometimes I think only because I'm standing there, and if I weren't, it wouldn't happen, because every handle in our kitchen, I refer to this as scum hands, because they're always a little bit sticky. And this is why. Okay. That's A. Dave's not a germaphobe.
No.
B, I got Crocs. So go to hell, K-Dub. I'm put them on Instagram. I'm going to link them in the show notes so that you can all see the Crocs with gibbets that I got. I think everyone is frozen.
You still here, Pam?
You're frozen for me as well, Dave.
Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Hello. Hey. Pam.
Hello, Dave.
All right. Here we go. It is the same time your power went out, and then your internet went out, and then it's a couple days later. And you're still talking about poop? Let's find out. It's time to still.
Listen to Sassy.
Listen to more Sassy.
That was something.
I think it's the universe's way of saying, even though we all thoroughly enjoyed the poop talk, let's get into some pop culture.
Right. Because we got it out of our system.
We got it out of our system. Ba-da-da-da-da-ba-ba. Well, let's go.
All right.
Pop culture.
Well,
no, really, this is Sarah. 2 days later. If we all sound different, it's because it's 2 days later because power went out, internet went out. Austin's still like, maybe we are a third world country after all. So here we are. Knock on wood. This will be the back half of the same episode.
Okay, great. Well, K-Dub had more to say beyond toilets. So let's hear clip 10.
Hi, guys. This is K-Dub in Shoreline. I am in 100% agreeance with Dave about potatoes. It is not a very popular opinion to dislike baked potatoes or mashed potatoes, but I, too, only like potatoes in the form of fries or roasted potatoes. And
sure. I, too, only like potatoes in the form of roasted potatoes or fries.
Even fries have to be perfect, or else they're not really edible. The texture of potatoes is nasty. And then second, I grew up going to a free standing Sizzler in my hometown. It was the only semi-decent restaurant, and my friend and I went there to celebrate.
I have a lot of questions about that phrasing. We'll get to it.
Special occasions or accomplishments or something. I remember sitting down. We thought we were very special and ordering our prime rib. Don't remember them having a buffet, but it wasn't in a mall. And for the town I grew up in, it was pretty okay. All right, peace out.
Wait, there's Sizzlers in a mall?
Yes, this was
mall
part
Sizzlers?
Of the, yes, this was part of the discussion when we
yeah, but there's mall Sizzlers, but it's not Sizzlers in a food court. It's a Sizzler.
No.
Yeah, so why are they? Why is it a stand-in restaurant? I don't understand what that means.
Oh, I thought she said standing. Like
yeah, standing. Whatever.
I thought she said freestanding. Like it was a separate, it had its own parking lot. It wasn't part of a mall.
Okay. That's not what I heard.
But at the mall.
And I've forgotten everything else about the call.
I don't think it was.
I really was. Just imagine people holding their salad and steak and walking around.
No,
like, I wish we had tables.
Peanut shells on the floor.
Yes!
They're somehow, they got one hand on a plate trying to cut the steak with one hand, the other hand.
No.
The steak just moving around the plate, sometimes falling on the floor, that is covered in peanut shells like it's breading. And then they're like, oh my God, that Sizzler sings. Peanut covered steaks. And that's when they went out of business.
You guys can't see, but Tara left. Tara left in the middle of that.
Welcome back to the show, Tara.
I don't know how many times I have to explain to you what is meant, because it was very clear to me. K-Dub is saying this was a Sizzler you could circumnavigate entirely all the way around on the outside, which you can't when it's part of the mall.
She's gelling like the
jelly. The mall part is what came up with this part of the call in the first place.
She's circumnavigating the Sizzler.
Oh, my God. Play the next call. Jesus, it's K-Dub again.
We're back.
That was Jesus to you, not K-Dub.
K-Dub in Shoreline. I just remembered a funny connection between baked potatoes and my cousins, Terry, Kathy, Tom, Todd, and Troy. One of them had a baked potato bar at their wedding. I remember back then thinking, this is the dumbest idea ever. All right, peace out.
Okay, I want to commend K-Dub for being so, so devoted to the 90s lifestyle that in the last call we heard, she said nast. And in this one, we got a peace out as a closing. So way to stay on brand, K-Dub. Dave, thoughts on a baked potato bar?
Give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away now. Marrying it all together. 90s potato bars, free things at weddings. It all came together.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk. Tara's not happy.
Well, Pam might get more or less happy when Pam hears.
Do you want to hear more poo stories? Would that lighten the mood?
Here's the thing. I can see on the document what's coming up next. And because you two, masters of cool, have never mentioned that I called in, I thought it didn't work because I was in lands far away and I didn't want to try it two or three times. But if this is what I think it is, I can't believe I made the slumber party episode.
Hey, listen to Sassy. This is Pam. I'm a longtime listener and definitely a first-time caller. I just think Megan is killing it. I haven't gotten to the Kim episode yet. I'm calling from the other side of the country. World. I'm calling the other the world where it's nighttime for you, but it's daytime for me to say that Dave will cut everything I just said. Dave's going to cut all of that. So here's where I begin. Hey, Sassy. Okay. You know, you can throw me to the other side of the world, but I'm still going to be the same person. frog dissection. So I did call that hotline about frog dissection, and I tried not to dissect a frog at my school. My dad said that if I did that, he would call the school and tell them to give me an F. So I've been fighting the patriarchy a long time, you guys, is what I'm saying. Like, it comes from within. It's a true need to fight the patriarchy. So what I did was I stood in silent protest while my lab partner dissected that frog. And I also had to go, we went to a high school half the day. I went to high school for science class. And there, the classroom we were in, they were dissecting cats, and it was a week-long process. So every day you'd come to class, and in the back of the class were various stages of dissected cats. And that fundamentally changed something in me.
Then we had to go to the community college, and there was gorillas on the table.
As it does. The smell of formaldehyde it takes me right back to Coach Alderman's class at Murrah High School in Jackson, Mississippi, part of the APAC. Man, how come I can remember all that, but right now I do not really know where my passport is? All right, you're keeping it real, Megan and Kim. It's a delight to listen to you on the podcast.
Wait, is that really? You misplaced your passport while you were there? You couldn't find it? Or is that a comedy?
No. I was so confused by what day it was. I would have to stand up and say out loud, today is Tuesday. You are in Kyrgyzstan. Like, I got very lost. So yeah, I probably couldn't have told you exactly where my passport was at that moment. Wow. I was going to get it. I was going to find it. Mm-hmm. I stayed very contained, but I was not a part of any kind of calendar we're used to.
What were you thinking when you're like, well, I got out of that frog thing. I jumped out of the pot as the frog. And then like you open the door and there's like just 30 dead cats in a room. Did you think your dad had the hotline to the karma center in the universe?
They did fetal pigs. Yeah. And it was so southern that I didn't know what they were saying about fetal pigs for a while. I was like, I wonder what a fetal pig is. And then I saw what a fetal pig was.
Yeah.
And then when they were doing these cats, they would keep their tails like rabbit's feet. It was, you know.
Wait, they would cut them off and keep. To do what with? What do they do?
As a trophy?
Chase people with them?
As a warning to the other fetal pigs?
All right. Well, another piece of the puzzle falls into place.
Indeed. Let's hear from our first of several Jennifers, clip 13.
Hi, it's several Jennifers from North Carolina again. I just had to call because y'all were talking about New Kids on the Block. This issue was pretty early in my sassy reading. Like, I was 12 years old. I was still really into New Kids on the Block. My sassy reading kind of took me from my New Kids on the Block phase into, it's funny that y'all mentioned REM earlier, because at one point around this time I had an REM poster on my wall and a New Kids on the Block poster on my wall. I was kind of making that transition. But anyway, started out really loving New Kids on the Block. I really love that you mentioned that your friend saw that New Kids concert earlier this year and that it was great, because they have been touring since 2008. And they are really, really good. I hate it. Like, I mean, obviously the music is what it is, but performance wise, they just know what they're doing. When they first had their reunion tour back in 2008, of course, I went with friends that I saw New Kids on the Block with back in the day. Lady Gaga opened for them. I had not heard of her. She'd not had a hit yet. They put an album out back right around the same time. Oh, the song is garbage. I mean, the whole album is full of like, we're growing and sexy now. Big girl now. It's really terrible. But Lady Gaga is on it. But what they finally settled into is this thing they call the mixtape tour. They get other people who were popular in the 80s and 90s. So I've seen them with the lineup that your friend mentioned. They've also had Naughty by Nature. One year they had Debbie Gibson and Tiffany, which Christina, of course, would have hated. But honestly, Tiffany sounded great. They've had Boys to Men. They put on a good show. If you get a chance, go see them. Like I said, it's a little embarrassing, but you will have a good time. Thank you. Love the show.
Thank you. Love that. Our friend who we referred to in that episode, who reviewed a more recent New Kids show, was Mark Blankenship. If you want to hear more from him, he is going to be on our sister podcast, Extra Hot Great, this week. Drops Wednesday. Extra Hot Great, wherever you find podcasts.
Cross promotion synergy.
I'd also, speaking of, I'd like to subscribe to Jennifer's Whatever It Is That She Recommends podcast, because that's how I'd like all things delivered.
Have y'all tried fetal pigs?
Now, I know it's a little silly. Like, it's gross.
But sometimes I can't find my keys and I just throw them around. And I just touch the tail end of a big, long cat tail. Oh. And I'm like, there it is.
I know where I find myself.
Don't attribute that to Jennifer. That's terrible.
No, that's Jennifer reframing my things in a more palatable way for Dave.
Mm. Yeah, she's narrating Pam's life.
Yeah.
I see. Jamie also had some comments on the New Kids, clip 14.
Hey, guys. It's your pal, leg shaving Jamie. I wanted to call and brag, I guess. I saw New Kids on the Block Hangin' Tough concert in Birmingham, Alabama in 1989 with your friend and mine, Front Porch Kelly. Oh. Yes. Of course, back then she was just Kelly because she was like 9, probably just a baby. Front Porch Kelly.
She was drinking in the shed.
She was still just as mean, though. But her dad took us to that concert, and he is a saint for sitting through that shit. For sure. And apparently, a tornado had come through while we were at the show. We had no idea until we were leaving, and like all the trees were down, and we survived, though. That's what I'm calling to tell you guys. We survived. Amazing. The Hangin' Tough New Kids on the Block tour in 1989.
The way my mind works is that they were at the concert enjoying it. They were like 1/3 the way away from the stage, or 2/3 of the crowd behind them. And they're so into the concert, they didn't notice the tornado that came through and decimated the back half of the audience. They're like, yay! And just like, just the end of the show, they look back and there's just parts everywhere.
There's a whoa joke in there somewhere. Please don't go, everyone.
But when Jamie mentioned Kelly, I realized we haven't heard from Kelly in a while. Kelly, did your front porch break off? Are you doing dry January? Reach out. We miss
February
you.
Now. Come on back.
That's true. Yes, exactly. Next, we heard from Renee.
Hi, this is Renee from Pittsburgh. And I have to say, Sassy's been leaning into the Australian vernacular of dag being like a negative thing. Like, oh, that sure is dag. Like, it's gross. But I'm here to tell you something. That is an actual Philadelphia term as well that you can use as an exclamation of something that's like really annoying to you. A good example would be that when, say, Dave and Pam are cracking each other up over somebody's butt falling off and putting sesame seeds on it like it was a bun for a hamburger, and Tara just wants to move on with her life, she can be like, dag, yo, stop poking about the buns falling off and let's get back to the show. Just want to let you know there's a couple other ways to use dag besides the one they use in Australia. Another one is like, dag, the show was so awesome, I got to tell everybody about it. And I do all the time because it's amazing. Keep it up. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Renee. I was familiar with that usage. It's like an alternative dang.
I was going to say, is it just a Philadelphian accent somehow just losing the N?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you actually pronounce her name.
No ends.
We got a call from another Jennifer. I think it is not the same Jennifer.
Can I propose a rule?
Yes.
If your name is Jennifer and you call into the show, you have to say, my name is Jennifer, and then give yourself the most ridiculous transformer sounding name just so that we can separate who's who. Like, this is Jennifer Megatron.
Okay.
Like, I appreciate shaved leg Jamie. Like, everybody knows you. In this case, we'll let you give yourself your own nickname. Normally, you don't get that luxury.
It's leg shaving Jamie perk. For the record.
Let's put it on the perk. Give yourself a sassy nickname when calling into the show. Reporters only.
All right, play it.
I was calling about the November 89 pop culture issue. My mother was an ER nurse for many years, and she said that they could totally tell
if your underwear situation was a result of muscles relaxing during an accident or you just wearing dirty underwear and being gross. And they did, in fact, judge people. So there you go.
The best call ever. That is the most informative call we've ever had. So what I'm hearing is if you have to go to the hospital and you shit your pants, try to find somebody who's selling naturally soiled underwear. You know, like a drug test where you can buy somebody else's pee. So you're, it's like that. Yeah. Accidentpants.org.
Skid marks.
Org.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, not skid marks. I don't think they'd be skid marks.
Wait.
Because when you lose control of your.
We're back in.
People know what's what. I don't have to go into details. They know. They know skid marks are an accident situation.
We got some calls about fashion, et cetera, as well. Let's hear from Heather, who I'm sure is thrilled to be following that.
Hello, listen to Sassy. It's me, Heather, longtime listener, third time caller. I went to high school with Batman. That's me. I also wanted to say that all through high school, I desperately wanted one of those heart-to-heart rings, and I fantasized about getting one. My high school boyfriend and I, our birthstones were our high school colors, blue and yellow. My birthstone is yellow, which doesn't go with anything and isn't pretty. But then once I went to college, sophomore year, I pledged a sorority because it was a very small school in rural Missouri and there wasn't a lot to do. I was very bored. And then I got the ring with my sorority colors and I wore it for the rest of college. It was great. Everyone in the sorority was super jealous, which of course is the purpose of sisterhood.
I knew it.
And then just a couple years ago, I gave it to my friend's niece who had pledged the same sorority at a big fancy school. So that was very exciting. I got my initials and the sorority initials inside. And for the record, now I'm married to a man whose birthstone is also yellow. So just imagine how stupid our ring would look. Okay, that's it. Thanks for being great. Have a great day.
What birthstone is, what is that, topaz?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guess who else has that? Me.
Mm, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah,
so they're set? Is it by month?
Yes. Okay. Happy birthday, Heather. Let's hear from Robin.
Hi, this is Robin from Toronto. I have been meaning to call in about my son's story for ages now. So yes, a very out of date story, but must be told.
That was Sun In, I believe.
Sun In.
It was a little garbled because of the transmission.
So I was like maybe 12 years old. I was visiting my grandmother in Florida. And of course, she bought me everything I wanted because I'm a spoiled brat. And I was obsessed with Sun In thanks to Babysitter's Club and Stacy. So I desperately wanted long blonde hair. It was like a month before my bat mitzvah. I actually had really dark brown hair, and Sun In and dark brown hair don't actually mix. So I doused my hair with Sun In, aka hydrogen peroxide, and ended up with orange hair. Came home, and my mother's freaking out. It's about to get pictures taken, and I'd stand in front of a lot of people and sing my Torah portion and the whole bit. And she finally had to agree to dye my hair. It, you know, it worked. But obviously that didn't stay in and washed out over the years to come until my hair grew out. So I always had orange tips at the end of my hair for years. So basically I had ombre hair before ombre hair was a thing. Thank you, Sun In.
Thank you, Robin. The Sun In discourse continues. A lot of mixed bags. Mostly, actually, that's not true. Everyone had a bad experience except that one person was like, it always worked on me, so fuck all of you, which we salute her as well. But I just wanted to mention, and we'll link it in the show notes, friends of ours have a podcast called Forever 35 that you've probably heard of. It's about beauty and aging and so forth. And they have started doing Friday episodes they're calling Product Recall, where they recall beauty products from yesteryear. And what else could they kick it off with but Sun In? So that just dropped last week. And as I said, we'll link it in the show notes. Got yet another Jennifer. I am not actually sure if this is one of, if this Jennifer is the same as one of the ones we've already heard from, but if, just to be safe, Dave, do you want to give this Jennifer a Transformer surname?
Jennifer Soundwave.
Great.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Maryland, and I just started listening to your November 89 Fashion Etc. issue, and I was listening to it in the car while I was running errands, and my car has an infotainment system, and I have to say, I found the tiles very distracting because I don't like feet. I don't like my feet. I don't like your feet. I don't like feet. and having the corpse feet out of the corner of my eye during my drive was so distracting. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, the corpse feet. Sorry. You should probably turn that off for safety, just saying. Our very last call is from Jenny.
Hi there, it's Jenny calling from Saskatoon. I realized...
Oh yeah, wait, is Jenny Jennifer?
Probably, but not necessarily.
She's Jenny from Saskatoon. She already gave herself her Transformers name.
Okay. All right, so Jennies aren't Jennifers.
I don't remember this issue, but I think it must have impacted my brain so much because I'm listening to the fashion episode and we're talking about the girls with the like quilts as skirts. And when I was a kid, I thought I was pretty fashion forward. I wore a lot of vintage. I wore a lot of stuff that I thought was like really edgy stuff from my like my mom's old clothes from the 60s. Anyway, I was known at school as like the girl with the coolest, most interesting clothes. Like I'd wear a cloche hat, you know, with buttons on it. And one day when I was in grade 10, the grade 9s showed up and there was this girl who's in grade 9 and everyone was like, oh, she's really cool because she wore lots of really interesting things. And I felt this sort of threatened by her because she was really edgy fashion-wise as well. But I still felt like I had the edge. And then because I had my purse was an old, like a metal lunchbox that blue-collar workers would use, and I had stickers on it, and it had a chain as a handle. So I was like, yeah, I got it. She's never going to take my place. And then one day we were sitting around and we watched her walk in, and she had on an afghan around her waist. And it was safety pin to her body, like a skirt. And I looked at her and I bowed down and I was like, I will never compete with this. She's just the coolest. Anyway.
That's where it got cut off. I love that Jenny's description of this is I was known as the girl who had the really cool clothes. Where it's like, I'm sure your friend said that. I don't know if other people would describe you if they remember you in your lunchbox and your cloche hat with buttons on it the same way, but I salute you for following your own fashion rules.
It's probably what they call a lunchbox Jenny.
Perhaps. Jenny, I applaud your fashion forwardness. And even if you told everyone to tell everyone that what you're known as is the girl who dresses in cool clothes, look at this lunchbox. I support that too. Because of this podcast, I went out in public for a fun, fancy ish evening with a friend in my white pinafore looking thing and my docks and my slouchy socks and a little Kurt Cobain green cardigan on top of it and a little hat. Mm-hmm. And I felt like my own Winona Ryder. I did it. It was, I appreciate that. I would not have worn that if it hadn't been for all of you.
Congratulations.
Take a bow. Well, yeah, we were talking about, I was like, this is what I have. And this is what I'm saying. I would wear this right now. And I'm like, that's why I went all the way to almost wearing it. It's right there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need that little push.
That's right. In its short life, Sassy only ever did one double issue, and we have reached it. So in our next episode, we'll kick off with our discussion of the December 1989 / January 1990 issues, Teen Life Topics. Learn everything that happens at a gynecologist appointment. Find out what he said about his physical insecurities. Save the planet right now! If you didn't do that after reading this issue, everything that has happened since is basically your fault. Sorry, you fucked up. For my plug this week, I got to talk to a rising filmmaker about her Oscar nomination. Yes, you can read my interview with the one and only Pamela Ribbon at GQ.com. And congratulations again to Pam on this achievement.
Thanks.
Being interviewed by me.
Yeah, my plug this week is for you to read Tara's GQ article because I'm plugging Tara as well. But also, if you would like to see... Oh, wait, no, only Dave is plugging Tara, as far as I know, legally. If you would like to see my year six, I just deleted everything. If you'd like to see my year of dicks, it's on tour. You can go to Shorts TV. Maybe you have to do slash the Oscar shorts. I really don't know. But the shorts are on the tour. Ours is last because it's dirty. Because it says bad words. Mm-hmm. And it talks about boobs. So if you've been waiting to see My Year of Dicks and you haven't watched it on Vimeo, but you like it with popcorn and the big screen and strangers, check that out.
No accolades or nominations for Decade of Vag, but you can follow it at Vimeo.com Decade of Vag.
Get in there. Looking forward to when Dave makes discarded underwear merch just so that you can have it for you have it in your emergencies and also when
underwear.
You poop in the woods.
No. Not discarded underwear. Accident underwear. I mean, true accident underwear, not oops, I had an accident. Car accident underwear is what we're talking about.
I'm saying there's more options.
Next time!
Next time! You can call us at 720 Sassy Go to get in on this fun shit. You can leave us a voicemail and you can see, who knows, you'll just become a part of our story. So anyway, listen to sassy.com. That's where we've got visual aids and all the stuff that you need. I think we've mentioned that a couple of times. So thank you for listening. We'll see you all next time. You guys, I'm an Oscar nominated human being. It's really funny. The Transformers.